Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And Sarah, great to have you on board. And our show today brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors. I'm in the mobile Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll get to Ryan Snyder of Blue White Illustrated in a moment, but first our play-by-play call of the day, Joe Bowen on TSN 1050. In overtime, the Toronto Maple Leafs prevail.
Kadri dropping it back into the slot. Gardner cruises in, a shot right on. Backhand shot, scores! P.A. Parenteau scores the winner on a backhand off a save by Rask, and the Leafs for the first time this year beat the Boston Bruins.
And do so in overtime 4-3 last night. Big win for Toronto, winning it in overtime. Also big win for the Pens last night as Sidney Crosby had his first hat trick since 2013. They beat Ottawa 6-5. All right, back to the task at hand. That is recruiting. We've already heard from Josh Gattis, the offensive recruiting coordinator and also wide receiver coach for Penn State. You can check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast. Now it's time to get a national view. Ryan Snyder, Rivals.com, Blue White Illustrated. Ryan, like many, has done a great job of tracking all of this with all the twists and turns. And Ryan, welcome. And if I put that piece of paper down in front of you and I give you this list of names and this is the end result, how would you feel about that as you look at it?
Steve, I mean, you know, look, did it finish exactly how Penn State fans dreamed? You know, no. You know, it was top five at one point, and, you know, of course Penn State fans have high, high expectations. But, you know, at the end of the day, they found some really good kids here to fill in these gaps. And one of them that I'm really, really excited about is Anthony Johnson, who jumped on board last night. You know, I can go all day on a couple of these guys, but this Anthony Johnson character, you definitely is going to be a name I think we watch closely down the road. I mean, he was at some of these camps this year, and the Cleveland camp the Rivals camp in Cleveland was one of the best I've ever seen, you know, when it comes to wide receiver class. And he was absolutely shut down, locked down, whatever you want to call it. I mean, he was one of the most impressive kids there that day. So that's a really, really big pool, in my opinion. And, you know, there's a couple of JUCO guys as well that, you know, I think Penn State did a great job to secure commitments come, you know, at the very end.
They also pulled in, now the Rivals doesn't say they're five, but other services say they're five-star kids, and Miles Sanders and Michael Bennett. What did it mean to get them on board, along with Shane Simmons, as cornerstones for what they're doing here?
Well, just a heads up, Dredger Snell has just committed to UCF, so just a heads up. So that's out of the way now. You know, Miles.
So he's going to go to Central Florida.
Yeah, he went to Central Florida. So Miles, okay. Look, Miles is without a doubt, I think, probably the most coveted prospect that James Franklin has landed since coming here. Saquon Barkley was up there pretty high, a couple other guys were, but Miles is the keystone recruit so far, and I don't mean that as a pun on the state. I mean, he is the guy, and they put the amount of effort that they put into him is unlike anything that I've really ever seen before. I mean, basically from the moment James got here, you know, he prioritized Miles Sanders. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Michigan State made a push, Pitt made a push, a lot of schools made a push, but it was that commitment, that push, you know, from day one, especially with his mother, that really was the reason that Penn State, you know, was able to secure him in the end. And I apologize, Steve, you said Michael Manning was the other recruit, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Michael, by the way, he's one of the most mature young men I've gotten to know in the 5 years that I've done this. And I've said that a lot. I've said that about a lot of guys. You know, Brenneman, someone that comes up. There's a couple guys that really stand out. McGovern in this class, he's really, you know, kind of above his years. But Michael is right there with anybody. You know, this past year, not this past year, about 2 months ago, you know, he raised a four diamonds, you know, for his high school. You know, schools kind of do like a little knockoff thing to what Penn State does. I think he raised something like $12,000-$15,000 for Diamonds. I mean, this is a kid that, you know, I mean, obviously he wants to help his school out, but to go out of his way and do that is just kind of really speaks a lot for his character. And, you know, on the field, by the way, he's a pretty tough son of a gun. So, you know, when you look at Michael and Miles, I mean, the future is absolutely bright, but at the end of the day, you need to develop these guys as well.
What about Shane Simmons? He was the other guy I mentioned, because it sounds like he is not only a fine player in his own right, but he's got some juice in the tank that helps you recruit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Shane's biggest impact on this class, at least in my opinion, was his ability to recruit others. I mean, he, you know, there will never be another Christian Hackenberg, Adam Brennan combination, you know, especially with the sanctions and stuff. When all that was going down, that was unlike anything I've ever seen, you know, when it comes to the impact that other recruits had. But make no mistake about it, Shane Simmons took this class, I'm not saying on his shoulders, but he took things to a different level at times, especially when, you know, when some kids had some doubts. And he was a major reason that Penn State, you know, was able to land some of the prospects that ended up signing today. So I give a lot of credit to Shane for that. You know, one thing I really know with Shane is Shane has really, really high expectations for fans. And I'm a huge Shane Simmons fan. Don't want to come up the wrong way here. But I worry about those expectations to a degree. And the only reason I'm saying that is I think Shane has the potential to be an excellent linebacker, but he may also play defensive end here. And one thing right now that I've really watched with Shane over the past 2 years is speed is everything with him at the moment. And that is great. You know, you can't teach speed. But there's more to come with that, especially at defensive end. And I think Sean Spencer will be able to take care of that? Absolutely. You know, I think that 2-3 years down the road, he'll be ready to roll. But I do worry about fans' expectations for the immediate future. And I think that's just something that people should keep in mind. I mean, he definitely has some progression still to do, rip moves, you know, just different power moves off his side. That's still not currently one of his strengths. But what is his strengths are athleticism, speed, and everything that you can't teach. So from that perspective, I think fans need to be really, really excited.
Part of what you're doing has to give you some class balance and some positional balance. How did Penn's now class balance is still to come because they've been in catch up mode for 3 years. What about positional balance? Are they better off with positional balance after today?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, when you look at defensive tackle, okay, that is the only spot that I think Penn State fans not going to say can gripe about, but you know, maybe concern them. But even if they brought in 7 defensive tackles this year, still not going to make a major difference on next year, because a lot of these guys, while talented and while I think that they can make an impact early, defensive tackle just isn't a position that you come in and play as a freshman. It's extremely difficult. You know, the same can be said about a lot of offensive players. So, you know, Penn State was, now one thing to note though is Penn State did bring in 2 junior college guys. Tyrell Chavis from Nassau Community College, who was originally at Virginia, then went to Nassau for 2 years. And also Brennan Thrift, who committed to Temple, I believe 2-3 years ago, ended up at Lackawanna. Those 2 are the guys that Penn State fans really need to keep an eye on. But the rest, in my opinion, still needs some time to develop. And that's okay. Now, whether Penn State fans give them that time to develop, that's maybe something that we'll see come down the road. But I really definitely keep an eye on Chavis. You know, if Chavis can make that impact, if he can come in and, you know, take care of all the distractions, get used to the style, get used to the school and everything that comes with that, then I think he can really make an impact for Penn State next year at D tackle, because that is the only position, you know, when you look at the depth chart and whatnot, that Penn State still needs a little bit of work to do. Everything else, in my opinion, including linebacker, which, you know, some say linebacker needs some work, but if you look to next year, the 2017 class is unreal at linebacker. So that'll be taken care of next year. That's why I really look at D-tackle, and I think that's the only key spot. And I think they're in a good position, but they might need a little bit more in the next year or so.
The other part, too, is that obviously Sam Ficken was the last scholarship kicker, and they haven't had a scholarship punter for a little bit. So they were able to go through. How well do you think they did in that area between Gilligan and Barbier?
Yeah, I think they did very well. I'll be very blunt. I think they should have offered Barbier 2 months ago. I'm really surprised that Penn State waited around on Norton as long as they did. Is he a good kicker? Yes. Is he substantially better than Barbier? Absolutely not. In fact, I would say that they're pretty much equal. I mean, I didn't see last week, you know, don't pay attention to rivals' rankings when it comes to kickers, okay? We do our best, but I'm not going to act like we put a lot of time into that, all right? We have enough kids to evaluate. So, you know, when I look at Barbier, I see a kid who's extremely excited to be here, and I see someone who is ready to work and has already proven that the work he's done over the last 2 years is heading in the right direction for him. You know, Nordine, on the other hand, well, I'm not saying he's not a hard worker or whatnot. He also just missed his entire senior season due to a collarbone injury, which he suffered on an onside kick. It wasn't the entire senior season. Let me take that back. But it was about, you know, he played maybe 4 games total. So I look at someone like Barbier, who has made an extreme progression, maybe not extreme progression, but a solid progression over the last couple months. And to me, him and Nordine are on the same page. If not, I would slightly lean towards Barbier, which is really, really important. So, and then we have Blake Gillikin, of course, who's been committed for a while now. He's going to be an excellent punter, very consistent. You know, he can easily get, you know, 40, 42. And, of course, that's not going to be easy when you have the pressures of 100,000 fans in the stadium. But, you know, he's proven on the high school scene already that, you know, 42, 43, 44 average yard punts, you know, with a 4.6 hang time, That's not an issue for him. And as he becomes more comfortable, I think you'll consistently see that. And as Sensei fans already know, that was definitely a concern at times over the past year or two. So that should really help down the road.
I never worry about 100,000 people in the stands. I worry about the 11 guys consumed with hate running at them.
Good point.
as to how you handle that spot.
Good point.
All right. So you have to be flexible in doing this. Especially today. How flexible in the end was this staff to make this class come together?
Yeah, I think persistence is probably the better word. I mean, put it this way, Penn State handed an offer out last night at, like, I don't know, maybe midnight. I mean, I was already in bed, and I woke up today at a call around 5:45 this morning and said, you know, wake up, I got news for you. You know what I mean? So, you know, persistence and, you know, work ethic, and those are the kind of things that come to mind for me. You know, they had some guys fail out late, and, you know, for whatever reason that is, you know, every recruit's different, you know, good luck to them. What Penn State was able to do then was, you know, go back. They did review some film, I think, but I think that, you know, at the same time, they already had a solid understanding for who they were going to go for. And someone like Chavis kind of popped up, and, you know, he's always been on the scene, but, you know, once it became clear that, you know, they needed immediate help at D-tackle, they made the road with him and were able to land him. And, you know, someone like Anthony Johnson, for example, he didn't get an offer until last night, but he's been on Penn State's radar for months now. And he's actually someone that Banks knows very well, too. So that kind of goes back to his hire. So, you know, persistence and just kind of staying on top of everything, you know, that's what really stands out to me. You know, they double-checked Plan B, Plan C, Plan D. You know, they kept their recruiting list in order, and we're able to move on to the next guy immediately. And that was important because, you know, you don't want to be scrambling when you lose somebody and take 3, 4, 5 days, especially when you have 2 weeks to go to hand out that next offer. So they knew where they were going to go with these guys. They had it all booked out, and I would say that, you know, they did the best that they could to develop relationships as quickly as they could. And outside of Snelson, who just went to UCF, you know, they basically were able to succeed on everybody they wanted.
One final question, and when it came time to interview Joe about recruiting, I always asked this basic question. Now, I mean, believe me, he did it. He talked. I mean, a lot of people don't think he did, but I had no trouble talking with him about it. And the basic question I always asked him was this: if I put down a sheet of paper with these names on that sheet of paper, how do you feel about the names you see in that sheet of paper? Mm-hmm. So if I put this sheet of paper down for you, from a Penn State perspective, how would you feel about that list of names I handed you?
Let me say this. There are a couple guys in this entire class that I think have a little high expectations. And I already mentioned Simmons. He's someone that I just think fans need to just be careful. Just don't put too much pressure on him early, because he still has some development to do, and he's gotten a little, you know, there's been a little too much pressure on him early, and just my opinion. But I also look at, there's like 3 or 4 guys. Anthony Johnson is one that I'm really high on. Will Fries is somebody I haven't hit on yet. This kid, I mean, McGovern and Menick get all the attention, which is well deserved. I mean, they're top prospects, Under Armour All-Americans, Army All-Americans. Will Fries, is just as good or better than these guys. And I talked about this on the PSU podcast earlier. I mean, here's a guy who's got totally under the radar, and he's still a four-star prospect. So that says all you need to know. You know, when I look at the totality of this class, I give it about a B-. And it could have been worse. It could have been a lot worse when you consider some of the decommitments they lost. But Daylon Darien is a guy who, athletically, you know, he needs some tutoring, but athletically, he's just as good as any of the guys they lost. Anthony Johnson may be one of the most hitting guys in the region. You know, my colleagues that work for Rivals are going goo-goo over this guy. They're like, how did he not have a better offer to Penn State earlier in the process? So, you know, we can go on and all day. I give it about a B-, and I think that they could have been looking at like a C-average class if they weren't able to put in that consistency and that effort at the end of the day. So I think Penn State fans should be pretty excited about it. But, look, make no mistake, at the end of the day, this coaching staff can recruit. It's about wins on the field from here on out that will determine whether they're going to be a top 15, top 10, top 5, and so forth.
Always a pleasure, Ryan, and I know everyone really appreciates your hard work very much.
Yeah, I've gotten literally seven calls and texts in the last couple of minutes, so sorry if I checked out.
Oh, no, that's okay. Everybody knows I mentally checked out 10 years ago. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Steve.
Ryan Snyder from Blue White Illustrated and Rivals.com. We'll get Kevin's complete analysis of recruiting as only he can deliver in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Great to have you with us. Still to come, James Franklin on recruiting and how it played out. Of course, our sports bozo of the day, too. Did you see this Microsoft? If Microsoft has its way, future Super Bowl viewers will be able to watch the game play out live on coffee tables as players outfitted with helmet cams provide up-close and personal views of the game. Now this
On coffee tables?
If Microsoft has its way, future Super Bowl viewers will be able to watch the game play out on their coffee tables as players outfitted with helmet cams provide up-close and personal views of the game. And on the field, coaches and players will see the same video the fans see and adjust their game plans accordingly. NFL executives and players joining Microsoft executives Tuesday in a panel billed as the future of football, a look at novel ways to incorporate technology into America's favorite sport.
Oh, God. So, all right, let me see if I understand this correctly. They're going to actually put images on your coffee table. You're going to have a specialized coffee table, and it's and you could wear a visor, and it's going to be like virtual reality?
Yes.
That is awesome.
That just makes me shake my head.
Oh,
There's no way that's showing it. There's no way it's showing up at my house.
Oh, of course not. There's no way that's but I love that idea. So basically, you take a coffee table, just any sort of coffee table, you put the headset on, or the glasses on, which is a virtual reality headset, and you could actually see it from that perspective. Oh, that's awesome. I love that idea.
Yeah.
Love that idea.
Now, I give them credit for what they've done with the Microsoft Surface on the sideline. I think that's helped tremendously. It's the kind of technology that every sport should have, that ability to take it and be able to draw on it, put the play on there and so forth, instead of the old, like, hey, we're going to send some photos down to you. Hey, let's take a look at this. Now, when you can do it on a tablet like Microsoft Surface, that's been great. That kind of technology is only 3 years old. This doesn't light me up too much.
No. I'm looking at the video. I may have to post this on our Facebook page to see this video.
Go ahead and post it. I think it's fun for people to look at.
I am all about this idea. I mean, you actually wear the glasses as you're watching, wear the headset as you're watching the game, and you can actually zoom in on different parts of the game. You can actually call up your own stats virtually. Oh, it brings a whole new avenue to watching the game.
It certainly would do that. It certainly would do that. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I'd buy one.
I don't like 3D. Let's start with that. I'm not really into 3D.
Yeah, you wouldn't like this then if you don't like 3D.
No. So that's one of the reasons I probably would not go in this direction.
I have a friend that can't watch 3D because it gives him a headache.
Well, I can't do it because obviously we've spent too many times dodging your 3D golf ball on the course.
Oh, no. That's not virtual reality. That is reality.
Yeah, Drew and I now go out with helmets. We're the only ones out there with helmets.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us in Iowa City, actually in Coralville. Tonight, Penn State plays Iowa. Meanwhile, tonight on News Radio 1070 WKOK, we're going to have on Midwest and Shikellamian High School boys basketball this evening as Shikellamian's outstanding season continues. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. Calgary Flames defenseman Dennis Wideman suspended 20 games for his hit on linesman Don Henderson in last week's home loss to the Nashville Predators. Suspended for 20 games, he will forfeit $564,516.20 with the suspension. The money, by the way, will go to the Players Emergency Assistance Fund. He is our sports bozo of the day. All right, let's get to James Franklin's thoughts. Today, a press conference for the head coach talking about recruiting and how it played out for the Nittany Lions.
And the families and the recruits that are joining us. So really, really excited about those guys. This was fun this year, being able to develop relationships with these families for almost 2 years. You look at majority of the guys that have been committed to us for a long time. It really wasn't recruiting anymore. It was going into their homes and having fun and celebrating our future and their future. So to me, that's what it's all about. You want to try to stay out of the recruiting game as much as you possibly can. And what I mean by that is the end of recruiting, where you're scrambling and selling. You really want it to be about relationships and about the things that we think it should be about, which is getting a world-class education and surrounded with yourself with like-minded individuals that want to go on and be really, really successful. So, it's been fun. It's been crazy. And, looking forward to getting these guys on campus so we can continue to build on the foundation that their parents have laid. And help these guys mature and leave here as educated men and prepared for life. So we had a morning workout yesterday with our team at 5:30. We hadn't done that in the past, so we were able to get a workout in yesterday. And then the coaching staff will have off. We're gonna be really nice and give everybody off Thursday and Friday. And then we'll get back to work on Monday and get ready for spring ball. We've got a lot of work to do, obviously, with Coach Moorhead as our new offensive coordinator, Coach Limegrover as our new offensive line coach, Coach Pry moving into a new role as the sole defensive coordinator instead of co-defensive coordinator, and then Coach Banks as our safeties and co-defensive coordinator. So got a lot of work to do. Some of the things I would like to mention, it's kind of some interesting facts that maybe you guys have or don't. Now, we got 16 team captains, which to me is always interesting. You want to look at those things, and you know, obviously that speaks a lot for how their team looks at them and how their coaches view them. But 16 team captains, 6 state championships, 4 Under Armour All-Americans, 6 Semper Fidelis All-Americans, 2 Gatorade Players of the Year, and then 1 Army All-American. I think a stat that's pretty significant and shows the progress that is being made is we've signed 21 4- or 5-star recruits in the last 2 years, and we had 11 4- or 5-star commits in the previous 3 classes before we arrived. So 21 in 2 years and 11 in the 3 classes before we arrived. You know, that's star rankings. You know, those things are not the end-all, be-all. Matt McGloin was with us this morning. I think, obviously, he's a great example of a guy that took advantage of his opportunity here. Carl Nassib, I think it's two of the better stories in college football. But the rankings do have some significance. There's no doubt about that. 2 commits that were rated 5 stars. First time with 2 5-star recruits in the same class at Penn State since 2006. 12 commits rated 4 stars or higher, according to 4 major recruiting services, the second most 4-star signees since 2006. So if you look at it, in 2016 we had 12, in 2015 we had 13, and then before that in 2014 there was 6, and then in 2013 there was 3, and 2012 there was 1. So I think it is clearly obvious that there's progress being made, and we're always going to focus on the young men that are joining our program and how we're so excited about those guys. Number 3 in the Big Ten in rankings, we're not going to be satisfied until we're number 1 in everything we do. Like I say all the time, that we take pictures. I take pictures all the time with fans and people in the community. I always throw up that number 1. And that's, you know, because we want to be number 1 in graduation rates, and we're working to be number 1 in all the other areas as well. So, a few points that I thought you guys would be interested in that I would throw out to you. We also had 8 states represented, and you guys know how we feel kind of about the footprint. You look at Florida, Texas, and California generally somewhere in the ballpark between 250 and 350 Division I prospects. Pennsylvania is usually around 35 on average, somewhere around there. So we look at the footprint, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, basically 5 to 6 hour radius of campus. So, appreciate you guys being here and open up the questions.
Raise your hand and we'll get a mic to you.
James, there was obviously a lot of kids decommitting, flipping to from other schools to your school to other schools. How stressful is that on a coach and a coaching staff? How difficult does it make it? And how do you think you came out of all of that kind of flurry of action?
Yeah, I think if you take everything into consideration, I think we did really well. I mean, you know, we hire a new offensive line coach. We don't lose one offensive line commit. We got the number 1 running back in the country committed to us, and he stays true. His mom was a huge part. You know, she really saw the big picture and really believed in everything that was going on. I mean, you look, there's a program in the ACC that I think had 24 decommitments this year. I saw a stat somewhere where there was some ridiculous number, like almost 250 decommitments, from the convention on, from the coaches' convention on. So it's a little bit the way the industry is going. It's really not the way we do business. We've been pretty fortunate over our last 5 years not to have a lot of drama. We pretty much knew who was coming and who wasn't beforehand. This year was a little bit different from that perspective, but overall, we don't do a whole lot of recruiting in the 11th hour. You know, we're able to build relationships and stick with guys for the long term. And if you look, you know, most of our commitments, that was the case with, you know, so. But there was some challenges. There was no doubt about it. And I'm really, really proud of the coaches and how they handled that, adversity. I couldn't be more proud and could be more excited about the direction because of that. It's easy to look at things when everything is going smooth and easy. It's how do you handle adversity? You know, Coach Moorhead, talks about all the time, which I think is a great quote, is, the storm. You know, at first you overcome the storm and then you become the storm. You know, and that's what we're really trying to do, kind of overcome some of the adversity that we've been through and then become the storm later on.
James, you mentioned the scrambling, the challenges, particularly this last month, I believe, with some decommitments and things. Why do you think that was more of the case this year than in previous years? And you also mentioned not being satisfied until you're number one. What's it going to take that next step up the ladder?
Well, what I'd prefer to do, which I know you guys don't want to, but I'd like to focus on the progress. I'd like to focus on that the last two recruiting classes were clearly two of the better recruiting classes in the last 5 years. And I know you don't want to talk about that, but I would love to talk about that. I'd love to talk about how we got the number one running back in the country committed to us. I'd like to talk about all the significant, positive things that are going on in our program. Obviously everybody knows, coming in here, I don't need to get into the challenges. Those things have been talked about enough. So what I'd like to talk about is all the tremendous progress, all the great families, all the great football players that are joining us. And that's our focus.
Coach, when you were speaking to Miles's mom this morning, you joked around with her that you guys might try to write a book about all the things that you guys went through when you were recruiting Miles. What specifically were some of those things, and what were some of the challenges in recruiting him, obviously a highly coveted running back?
Well, I think what happens is, at Penn State, we spend almost all of our time talking about all the wonderful things that we have here at Penn State, the academic reputation, the history, the traditions, the tremendous support that we get, and the direction that we're going, that this is a you've heard this before. This is a 40-year decision, not a 4-year decision. And I think when you look at it that way, Penn State is a tremendous option. And I think Miles and his mom kind of understood that, and that was the commitment, and that was the reason they made the decision. Where what happens is at the end of the recruiting period, it can get aggressive and it can get nasty and it can get relentless at times. And I think we've been fortunate that we got kids that get that. And what happens is if you leave the door cracked open for people to come in, that's what they're going to do. They're going to attack. I remember in the past I've heard about schools saying they want kids to commit to schools because now they know that's the school they have to attack. That's all they do is spend their time attacking that one school. I think when you have a strong young man and when you have a strong parent and you have strong coaches that kind of get it and understand why they made the decision in the first place, then it helps. This is difficult. This can be challenging and stressful times on young people. They're making a very, very important decision. And you're hearing a lot of different things from a lot of different people. So, Miles and his mom, were awesome. Every time we would go and visit them, like I said, it was a celebration. It wasn't recruiting. We didn't really recruit Miles for the last 6 months. It was just going and having fun with him. And really, we're talking about Miles right now. I'd say that for a good portion of our recruits. It was going and spending time with the families and having fun and laughing and enjoying ourselves, not really selling Penn State because they were already sold.
James, unless I'm overlooking someone, I only saw one recruit from the Delaware Valley, South Jersey area, which seems unusual to me. What were the factors that contributed to that?
No, there's a lot of different things that kind of go into it. If you really look, we look even at next year. We look at different positions. Certain positions are really strong in our region. Other positions may not be strong in our region that year, and that's why we say, okay, we need to know that, because say it's a certain position, say it's a long snapper, and there's no long snappers in the region, then we got to identify long snappers nationally. So some of that is that. Some of that you look at certain areas, maybe they had some players that were great players but didn't fill a need that we were looking for this year. Some of those battles we won, some of those battles we didn't. And that's across the board in college football. So, you know, you look at our last 2 years, we've done a significant, you know, job in recruiting those areas. But you're going to have that. You're going to have years where you're really strong 1 year, and you're going to have other years where you don't get as many. And that's going to be for a number of reasons. That's going to be need. That's going to be fit on both sides, our fit compared to their fit as well.
James, over the years, have you had many recruits have shown up at every home game this year, like Connor McGovern? And what, how much does him coming in early maybe help him have an opportunity to crack that too deep even in the first year?
Well, I think Connor's another example. We're talking about Miles. I think Connor's another really good example. His mom and dad are unbelievable. His dad is the superintendent, you know, of the high schools. They've been great. You know, he made a decision. He was very thorough, like most of our guys are on the front end, asking the tough questions, doing all the research, and then he made a decision and never wavered. Never wavered one bit. And again, even when Coach Limegrover came in, I think his home visit there was 4 hours. And it was not 4 hours of recruiting. It was 4 hours of eating Polish sausage and kibasi and laughing and pizza, you know, the squares from Old Forge. And just kind of really enjoying yourself. He's kind of unusual because typically centers are usually a little bit shorter. You can get away with centers 6 foot, 6'1", 6'2". I think the ideal, if you look at the NFL, 6'3", what they're looking for. I mean, he's a 6'4", almost 6'5" center. He's 312 pounds right now. He's still baby faced. He can run. He can jump. He came to our camp and tested unbelievably well. We try to get guys to get on board with us, and then we still want them to come to camp and compete and develop a relationship, a working relationship with their coach, how he coaches, what the drills are going to be, and things like that. And he came to camp and tested even better than we anticipated him testing. His running, his jumping, all of his numbers. And then the fact that he graduated early as an on-campus is going to give him a chance. It's hard to play on the O-line as a freshman. But the fact that he's here 6 months early and he's already a big, physical, strong guy and very, very intelligent, it gives him a shot. You know, it gives him a shot. So he's a unique guy, great family. He was very emotional today. You know, his dad, you know, came up for the signing day celebration and was in the war room with us, and he was able to announce his son. So he got up behind the podium and announced his son, and he got emotional, you know, as his dad introducing his son coming to Penn State. So, you know, to me, that's what it's all about. You know, if you're a Pennsylvania kid and you got a chance to play at the state school and stay home and get all the things you're looking for, you know, it's a pretty unique opportunity. It really is. And you know, their family realized that early on.
James Franklin earlier today. And by the way, if you're wondering, does the head coach favor an early signing day for college football? The answer is yes. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us, and as we close it out, tomorrow Joe Susan's going to join us. We will talk about the Bucknell recruiting class. 14 players signed. They went all over to get it, too. Got themselves a couple of wideouts in here, a quarterback, Jake Wilson from Chesapeake, Virginia, running back, Chad Freshnock from Middletown, New Jersey. You know, they went to Washington, they went to Jersey, they went to Florida, a couple from Pennsylvania, Virginia. They went all over the place, Maryland, to get this class, and we'll talk with Joe about that and get into it with him tomorrow. Six of the 14 incoming recruits play either the defensive or offensive lines, and when they get here, whatever the need is, that's where they'll go. Eight different position groups are included with the incoming class at Bucknell. Again, there's a lot of focus on what other people have done in recruiting. That's fine. I understand that. It's the lifeblood of anything. It's also interesting. But at the same time, we'll see how it plays out over time. There is no hard and fast formula as to how this works. And again, I don't care what other people do. I just don't. Like I said, I worry about what I see and what's here and concentrate on that. I don't really get too concerned about what the other guy has. Okay? You don't worry about things you don't have. You worry about what you do have. And we'll talk with Joe Susan about that tomorrow. Also, we'll have Audrey Snyder on the show tomorrow, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And also Jeff Byers, Penn State Wrestling. They've got the sold-out dual meet with Ohio State coming up in the Jordan Center on Friday night. Well, I'll be doing Penn State-Iowa basketball tonight. Kevin will have Midwest and Shikellamy this evening, along with the Chief Dave Ritchie. Shikellamy's had a great year so far, and they look to continue it and see if they can get a season sweep over Midwest when they take them on this evening. So our thanks to Josh Gattis, wide receiver coach and offensive recruiting coordinator, for being on the show. Also our thanks to Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, and Rivals.com. And our thanks to Todd Zalucki. We opened up the show actually talking about the Phillies, and hopefully at the end you had a chance to hear the comments of James Franklin at his press conference today. If you missed anything, you can check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast. So that wraps up National Letter of Intent Day for 2016. They get the night off, and then they start kicking into gear on 17 and 18 tomorrow. And then we get to spring practice, which starts in, I think, 5.5 weeks, 6 weeks. They start spring practice, and then the blue-white game is April 16th. The calendar moves quickly, it seems, doesn't it? Looking forward to it. On the after show, Kevin will give everyone his opinions on recruiting.
Actually, I'm going to do the after show with my opinions on the Microsoft virtual reality headset and using it during the Super Bowl. And if you heard us talking about this and wonder what we talked about, go on to our Facebook page, Steve Jones Show on Facebook, or if you follow Steve Jones Show, Steve Jones PSU on Twitter, then you can see the link that we put up for the virtual reality Super Bowl headset.
Great.
It's only $3,000, Steve. And I think it would be a wonderful birthday present if you were able to do that this summer. And I'm not talking for you either, because your birthday is in January.
Well, Penn State is ranked third in the Big Ten by 24/7 Sports and ESPN, and anywhere from 17th to 24th nationally. It is the highest-ranked recruiting class Penn State has signed since 2006 for the Nittany Lions. Total class of 20 signees today. Last 2 years, Penn State with 21, 4, and 5 stars. Last 2 years, 21, 4, and 5 stars. The previous 3 years, they had 11. The positional balance I look at like very much. The program made some significant steps forward today in combination with the previous two classes. We'll talk to you tomorrow.